Want to advertise your business in a cost-effective way? It's time to give podcast advertising a try. Research shows a high rate of podcast listeners made a purchase as a result of an ad they heard on a podcast. Visit podbean.com/brands to launch a cost-effective podcast advertising campaign in minutes. That's podbean.com/brands.
All right, guys, let's start with a game. Dog or cat?
Dog.
It doesn't matter.
Cake or pie?
Oh, pie.
Both.
You're easy to get along with, guy. Toilet paper, over or under?
Over.
My only preference, over.
Coke or Pepsi?
Neither.
Neither. I don't drink soft drinks.
Huh. Y'all agree?
My body is a temple.
Save or spend?
Save.
Save or spend? Oh, no, I'm very conservative. I'm a fiscal conservative, so it's safe.
Beer or wine?
Both.
Yeah, both.
Welcome to Yolitics, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
Hey, this is Jason Whiteley.
Jason Wheeler.
We are at Unlawful Assembly at Legacy Hall in Frisco, Texas, in Collin County, just north of Dallas. This place is cool because it's cool, but the names of the beer here
are
the best.
And that's how we choose them, just by the names. You can give us anything in a cup. We just want to pick a cool name. By the way, if you're not familiar with Frisco, this place has exploded. If you're living somewhere else in Texas, if you ever make it out this way, we are at Legacy Hall. It's just in the shadows almost of Jerry's big complex there, the Star in Frisco.
So last episode we had George Buhason on.
Yep.
He runs Better Angels, and George was talking about the effort of this organization to get people on the left and people on the right to finally sit down and try to bridge this gap that we have in America today. So I said, hey, George, the conversation was so fascinating. I said, let's find somebody who went through it. He said, all right, well, let me work on it.
And we wanted to do it without George sitting here so that people would feel free to just let it fly. I don't get the sense from either one of you guys that you wouldn't feel free to let it fly anyway.
whether you want it or not.
So we have two guests here today. Joe and Guy, introduce yourselves. Joe first, go ahead.
Joe Mueller, current living in Prosper, Texas. I'm 70 years old, retired 6 years ago. And a very active snow skier, avid motorcycle rider, play a little golf, and then volunteer in the ski club. So it keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble.
You are a busy man. Yeah. Guy?
Yeah. I'm Guy Dixon, and I have lived here in Dallas for a little over 20 years, but interested in keeping our country what it is historically. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know each other before you went through Better Angels?
No.
So you guys were in this course together?
Yes.
10 years ago, the conversation might not have been as contentious, as headbutting as it is now.
That's true.
Is that all over the 2016 election? Is it over President Trump? Is it after President Obama? What is it? What changed?
I think Trump was a catalyst to a frustration that has been kind of growing in the background for years. Mm. That, to my belief, I think our politics and our political operatives in this country have reached into emotional issues to put Joe where Joe wants to be and put me where I want to be just by our natures. And I have found recently, since that time frame, that we are no longer able to even start with a common premise.
Wow. Joe, what do you think about that? Is that the case?
My perspective, United States is based on a capitalistic system. I think it makes a lot of sense to have someone that knows, that's run a business, that knows how to, drive a capitalistic enterprise like the United States. To me, that's why I voted for Trump. I think we got too many professional politicians and lawyers sitting in Washington. So I think a good, solid businessman coming in, straightening things up, I'm all for that. However, when I turn the TV on, and the more leaning liberals, I voted for Trump. Therefore, I am a xenophobe. I'm a homophobe. I'm a white nationalist. I'm a Nazi, fascist, whatever kind of crap they can dig up. No, that's not it. What Better Angels has done for me, I get to go sit with other people and say, okay, no, I'm not a white nationalist. No, I'm not a xenophobe. I'm not a homophobe. I'm not a racist. I'm, you know, just a guy that thinks we need some different direction.
So and you can educate other people about you and people who think like you. I'm curious, after going through Better Angels, though, what changes in you?
So let me just say something here, because I think Joe brings out a good point, and I think this is not really understood. Because of that messaging that I mentioned as far as the emotional hooks, Joe has a very strong impression that I might be sitting here and thinking that he's all those things that he thinks I'm thinking he is. He doesn't know.
I don't know. That's true.
He's never asked, do you think I'm a homophobe? Do you think I'm this? Do you think I'm that? But yet, because of the messaging that happens out there, that is the impression that he has for somebody sitting on the opposite side of the political aisle. And it's, to me, it probably is in most instances completely false.
And this goes in both directions.
This goes in both directions. Both sides, political operatives, I think, do exactly the same thing. And the unfortunate thing is, once it gets into that space, my impression, Joe and I, because of that difference, and he thinks I'm this and I think he's that, or we think that, we might not sit down and talk to one another.
So you start off with a barrier.
Exactly.
So
now, I'm saying I don't start off with a barrier, but I think the political messaging has put him with his walls and put me with my walls. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look over him and tear him down.
How has Better Angels affected the way you consume news?
Well, I might be unique in who I am. It depends on who is telling that story,
right,
as to whether it's a 1% of the whole or whether it's 90% of the whole. And if you're only hearing 1% that gives you an impression or leads to some innuendo, and there's 90% of it out over here, and you start believing that as the whole story.
Yeah. So do y'all pick from different sources when you seek out news?
Yeah, what I do.
Opposing sources, Joe?
Yeah, typically I'm a conservative, and I like the echo chamber. You know, I like people to tell me I'm smart by a guy. Come on, Sean Hannity, tell me how great Trump is.
It feels good, though, doesn't it? Because you're being validated.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other side, you know, when I'm on a Stairmaster and I can relieve my frustrations, I do crank up CNN and see what they're doing. But at the same time, I get to, I'm huffing and puffing.
Are you yelling at the TV?
No, because I'm relieving enough stress because I've cranked it up pretty good. So
you can run it out, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, but I do try to at least listen to the other side, so I do a combination of, left-leaning as well as certainly right-leaning, news stations. And
there's a lot of people who don't, though. Guy, you obviously look at news very differently than you did before, so you're taking in different channels, but there's a lot of people who aren't.
I'll say this. My preference from news consumption would be, and it's not too available anymore, and it might be just because of my age, I prefer a hard newspaper in my hand rather than an electronic medium. And the reason I like that is because there is a selection process that I can choose rather than the news feed giving me what I read before. Here, let's feed him 15 more of these articles.
Okay, so how many of these meetings, though, did you all go to, and did you see any change in yourself?
I would have to say, I think for me what happened, I had an audience with people that might have thought differently than me, rather than in an echo chamber talking to somebody that was the same opinion. I could sit there and I could try to understand where Joe was coming from and ask Joe a question. Why do you feel that way? Explain that to me a little bit. And so it offered me an opportunity to step away from maybe the messaging I'm hearing and saying, that's BS. That messaging is BS. And I need to maybe shut that off and go find somebody to talk to that's on the other side, if I can, before we get to a point where we can't talk with one another.
And some people have already gotten there. Joe, what was your takeaway when you think about that? When you look back at the classes, did you feel like there was a change with you?
Well, yeah, certainly. You know, okay, so meet someone like Guy or some of the other, you know, nice folks that, you know, participate in Better Angels, because I mean they're there for a good reason, and yes, I get to vent a little bit, and then, but at the same time, I get to know them as people. And, you know, say, okay, you know, I totally disagree with, you know, what you want to do on health care or Social Security or, you know, immigration or whatever the topic might be. I'm, you know, I might have a different view, but I don't hate Guy. You know, it's not like, boy, if I get a chance, I'm going to run over him, I'll see him in a crosswalk or something, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, he's a person and he's got different views, and it's helped me soften that a little bit too and understand, okay, you know, it's different view. You know, they've got their view, I've got mine, and it's, you know, it's okay. But I don't, you know, it's not venomous.
You mentioned seeing them as people. Do you think we've gotten to the point where we've stopped seeing the other side as people and sometimes just seeing their agenda?
Well, and I'll frame it this way. His political issues and my political issues, if we were to sit down and talk to one another and actually get past the emotional hooks that are out there, I think we could find ourselves where we might be more coincident with one another than we're oppositional to one another.
So you think y'all can agree on some
things?
I think
we can.
Well, no, what do you think about what he said, Joe?
Oh, I think it's true. Yeah, I think it's true. Now, you know, I'm not here to, you know, try to convince Guy, you know, my point of view, but I think if I can at least hear it and understand it, I could say, okay, well, he likes, you know, in general, I think the left like a relatively high safety net. You know, they like a lot of government security stuff. I'm on the other end. I like a lower safety net. But, you know, okay, got your view, and, you know, I don't want to pay for all that stuff for other people either. You know, that's, you know, that gets into the other issue, too.
Tell us how to go ahead.
Just to say, and I think Better Angels' whole point is not for me to go in there, for Joe to go in there and try to change his mind.
Right.
But it's more to get us face-to-face with one another, talking to one another. The fundamental concern for us as a country right now is the fact that we are doing this with one another.
We're diverging.
We're diverging only in our emotional sense for one another. That might be completely false.
Mm-hmm. Are we tearing apart?
I think over time we could.
Joe?
Well, it's certainly not getting any better. I mean, you know, from my perspective, what I've looked at the last 3 years, Russia, 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 Trump's no good, blah, 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 blah. So you go through that for 2 years. We have this fiasco Kavanaugh hearing. You know what was that about? Are you serious? Nothing but a bunch of dirt slinging. So that, you know, didn't set well with me. And now we're into this impeachment farce right now. Totally baseless. And so to me, it's just like it's been 3 years of this stuff. You know, they've been attacking my man, basically. Hmm. And, you know, I'm getting a little tired of it.
Let me ask you this. Do either of you see, you know, a party that you identify with after going through Better Angels? Do you see people, though, who are in your party that you think, you know, I wish they would stop talking like that? I wish that they could tone it down a little bit, because you've been through this. You've been able to sit and listen to the other side and hear them out and maybe, you know, soften your own language a little bit. Have you thought that with people that are in the parties you identify with?
Okay, well, let's just, the main guy, let's just, you know, Pence, for example, very, very, you know, soft-spoken, typical, you know, very good politician, got a lot of respect for him. Now, Trump on the other side, you know, he fires a guy like Rex Tillerson, chairman of ExxonMobil. Next thing you know, 3 months later, Rex is dumber than a bag of rocks, you know. So, certainly Mr. Trump could, you know, calm things down a little bit, but it's like, okay, he's not presidential. That's true. The reason I voted for him, because he's not presidential. He's going in. He's a wrecking ball. He's going to tear down walls. He's going to do whatever he has to. And we're actually going to come up with some really good fundamental change.
So tell us how this works. You guys go to these meetings. Is there arguing? Is it listening?
Well, no.
It's
pretty structured. So like immigration, for example, you said we're going to talk about immigration. So typically what would happen is you'd have, say, blues, you know, the liberal side would give their views. You know, we can't interrupt.
I'm going to interrupt you. It should be noted you're wearing a blue sweatshirt today.
I know. I'm incognito.
Go ahead, man.
Since I'm with ABC people here, I wasn't taking any chances. I thought y'all might like cut my mic off.
Go ahead. I interrupted you, man.
Okay. So anyway, but yeah, and really, the meetings are you can't hammer on each other. So it's pretty structured. So the blues give their point, and then the reds, the more conservative, may have have their point, and you kind of hash it out, and you try to keep the volatility to them.
Does the other side ever say something, though, in their presentation that you think, I guess I never thought of it that way?
Yes, that happens.
That happens, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
That's positive.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. And the other thing I think that I get out of it is if you're going to take a topic like, say, immigration. So I feel this way. You know, we do plenty. You know, legal immigration. We let over 1 million people a year in the United States. So I think that's my view. Okay, but if I'm going to go sit down at a Better Angels meeting, I kind of scratch my head and say, okay, why do I feel that way? Let me gather some data. Let me go do some research. Okay, so let's look at how many, you know, the countries and, you know, how many immigrants they allow per year. And you go up through West Germany and, you know, United States and all that. And you say, okay, well, all right, now it helps me crystallize my thoughts rather than just saying, okay, that's the way I feel and that's it. It actually makes me think about it a little bit and say, okay, well, how could I explain this to someone?
That gets me right there, just the fact that you think, why do I feel that way? Just that simple sentence, if you think about it, how many people are going about their daily lives and engaging in political conversations and wondering to themselves, why do I feel this way? They'll state their opinions,
but how many
of us are questioning why?
Okay, and let me just continue on immigration. For example, I put together, you know, 10 countries, starting the least number of immigrants that are allowed in for whatever reason, you know, green cards, work visas, whatever. And I went from 10 up to 1. Well, you know, the second most country was, you know, Germany. So they had like 300,000 or 400,000 people that were in allowing legally. The United States is like 1 million to 1.2 million. So, I mean, right now, I mean, if we didn't let a single immigrant in the country, we would still be by far the most generous country in the world. And, you know, so I'd like to start there. Now, yes, I feel sorry for poor people coming out of, you know, Honduras and all that kind of stuff. There's certainly some issues. But on the other hand, we're doing pretty doggone good just coming off from the legal immigration. But what that does for me, it says, okay, I feel that way, and this is why I feel that way. Okay, now then, you know, like healthcare. Why do I feel...
So let me just stop you right there.
Okay.
And I'm going to say something that might be surprising to you.
Okay.
But I might be able to change your opinion about that with another aspect of immigration.
Okay.
We as a country right now, as you well realize, are at 3.5% unemployment. We also have a situation right now where we have over 7 million job openings, more than those looking for jobs.
So I'll say, great. So merit-based is great.
So let me finish.
Okay.
So what happens in that environment in our country at this point, our economy is actually being hampered by the fact that we don't have enough workers in this country to take the jobs that need to be taken. And if we were to have a different immigration philosophy than we do right now, our economy might be significantly better than it is, because we'd be able to employ people that companies are looking for that would actually improve our economic situation than what we would otherwise have. And to your capitalistic thought, which I agree with,
yeah,
we need workers in here from other countries, and we need that looking forward, because aging nations in this world are going to be competing for those resources. And if we don't get ahead of that curve, we're going to be way behind the economic eight ball, as other countries may do things more aggressively than we are to attract a workforce, immigrant workforce, because the aging world nations in this day and age, they're going to be hurting in 20 years because they don't have enough workers for their economies.
Okay, well, that's great point. So, infrastructure. Everybody says we need to do infrastructure, bridges, dams. Okay, so what do you need that? You don't need somebody sneaking across the Rio Grande River. You need civil engineers, right? We got to have somebody to design and build the dams. We got to have somebody to build the roadways. We got to do that sort of stuff. So when you say, let's open up, we need more of these type of people, I say, well, okay, let's step back. What do we need in the United States? We need IT people. We need electrical engineers. We need civil engineers. You know, those sort of folks. Now, we may need some more laborers. Okay, well, then let's bring in some of those. So to me, I'm all for merit-based immigration, too.
So let me say something relative to that thought. And I'm all in agreement with that kind of maybe premise for an immigration thought, is that during my latter career years, we could not find engineers that were domestically educated. or even domestically born. And if you were to go into the groups that I worked with in my latter years, they were predominantly from other countries. They were from Russia. They were from Venezuela. They were from England. They were from Scotland. They were from Vietnam. They were from Iran. They were from so many other places that you had a hard time finding a U.S. domestically educated engineer in my work groups. And we wouldn't have survived doing the jobs unless we had that technical expertise from these other countries.
I'm good with that. Yeah, I'm good. For full disclosure, I'm a chemical engineer. So you know, that's. But when I go to University of Houston, and back in 1967 when I started, and who wants to be an engineer? So you have this auditorium full of people. By the time I graduated, you could have probably put them in the space right here. So I mean, it's a tough degree to get, and I think in general some of the other countries are probably doing more, and it's more like a work ethic, grind it out, go to the U.S. and get the job. But I agree that yes, if we need them, bring them in. Yeah.
Have you walked around UTD campus recently?
I have not. No.
You would be surprised at the mix of the student population there. You wouldn't see one of us walking around that campus there.
You mean white guy?
White domestic.
We're in the height of the holiday season, guys. What would you tell others who are listening to this who might be a little nervous about driving over to their uncle's house or their aunt's house or their parents' house talking politics? You guys have picked up some things along the way. What would you tell people about how to find common ground?
Well, I don't know that the objective should be finding a common ground.
What should it be?
I think the objective should be, I honor your thoughts. This is what you say to yourself. Please help me understand why you are believing the things that you're believing. And just listen to see what it is and where they're coming from, rather than saying, hey, Joe, that's a bunch of hogwash. Where do you get that from? Why do you think that way? Explain to me. And like we did right here, Joe and I on immigration found a common ground relative to, yeah, I can agree with immigration on a job-based, merit-based kind of perspective. And that might be a big win for an immigration policy or for a worker base that would help our economy grow.
Joe, what would you tell people?
Well, I think this time of year in the season, lifelong Catholic, I'll throw that out there. I think you need to focus on peace and joy of the season. I think politics are tough when you get around family, people you don't know. I would say just tread very lightly and enjoy the season and where we came from and what it's all about. And
so you're in this room though with fellow Texans, and
right,
you're hearing their political views, and they're of all different sorts. Or is there anybody in the room that you just couldn't tolerate, that you just wanted to take out back?
Guy is pointing to Joe, and Joe is raising his hand.
other than Joe, everybody was pretty good.
All right, guys.
But look at you now. Look at you now.
Good conversation, guys. Cheers.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
That was a joke, Joe.
I know it was.
Thanks for the very civil discussion today.
Six letters is what I took away from this conversation. L-I-S-T-E-N. Listen. Just listen.
It's amazing how hard that is to do.
Especially with family. These are people you've known all your life, and you're going to see them for the holidays.
Yeah.
And you walk in with preconceived notions, and you're ready to get going, or you're ready to be defensive.
And you have to, it's hard to remember to listen when you're looking at, when you're reading it. It's one thing when you're hearing it, it's another when you're reading it, and I think that a lot of people have been doing the unfriending thing like we were talking about there, instead of just saying, well, that's my friend so-and-so who's got strong opinions on that.
Joe and Guy proved there is common ground to be found, so it's a good lesson for all of us this holiday season and for 2020.
Maybe these courses are going to be, needed to be required for the rest of us, to be able to just get in a room with other Texans and go, okay, you think totally different than I do, but I can get along with you.
We have a link to Better Angels on our website, and it's at WFAA.com/Yolitics as well, too, if you're interested in joining the program. Thanks for listening to this episode of Yolitics. I'm Jason Whiteley.
And I'm Jason Wheeler, and we will talk to you one more time in 2019 before this gets really real next year.